You're listening to Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood, in for Kai Ryssdal. Yeah, those tech stocks may be having trouble today, but let's talk about the device that made Apple must-own stock, and depending on the day, the most valuable publicly traded company in the world. Later this month will be the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone, and a new book coming out next week chronicles some of the untold stories of the iPhone's birth, a super-secret project in the mid-2000s, vanishing engineers, and an internal battle over whose vision for the new Apple phone would take off. We all know the story after that. Brian Merchant has the backstory. His book is called The One Device, The Secret History of the iPhone. Hi, Brian. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Molly. Thanks so much for having me.
So what a fascinating story, especially for some of us who may have been covering tech for quite a while.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's start at the top, I guess. How is the development of the iPhone different than the development of anything, any other computer that Apple had done, the iMac or something like that?
Well, at the point when the designers and engineers started to really think about the interaction paradigm, which is really kind of ultimately what sets the iPhone apart, which is that it's based on multi-touch and you're touching. And there weren't a lot of consumer-facing touchscreens out at the time. So they were really kind of answering this question of how do we, you know, want to interact with our devices?
Well, and it sounds like internally, at least at this sort of time of birth, there were a couple of competing teams working on things, right? You had sort of Tony Fadell's iPod-based model, and then you had what Steve Jobs wanted, which was a smaller tablet. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah. So they were. It was this experimental project that was kind of waiting in the wings, but they decided that it just was too expensive, so they kind of put it on hold. And then the iPod took off, and there was this business imperative that said, okay, well, cell phones are getting smarter too, and pretty soon people are going to be able to put music on their cell phones. So they were really worried about this prospect of kind of cell phones eating the iPod's lunch. So they decided to do one themselves. And then at the time, the obvious answer was slap a phone onto the iPod. But in the development process, they really ran into a bunch of hurdles because it turns out it's really hard to make calls with a rotary click wheel.
Is that the – I mean, what are some of the other reasons why that multi-touch approach, the sort of Steve Jobs vision, won out?
Well, you know, you had a bunch of really smart people who had been working together for a really long time. Once they saw, you know, this interaction paradigm where, wait a second, we can touch computers. We can play with data with our hand. We can do direct manipulation, as they called it. They said, you know what, we can turn this into a mobile computer. So they basically kind of took that up, and it started looking like this really compelling, really exciting way to make a phone. And once the click wheel didn't work, they kind of had this famous meeting where they were like, you know what, there's one of these two projects that we really want to do, and it's pretty clear that this is the one that excites people, and so let's just do it.
So tell me, you know, what was life like for the engineers working on this project?
Well,
in 30 seconds or less, how miserable are we talking here?
Let's say very unpleasant. I've had it described as a soup of misery, as just, you know, a lot of F-bombs were dropped. It was chaos. It was round the clock. Only the people with security clearance could get in, and that meant very little got out, including, you know, dirty laundry and, you know, trash. So the trash was piling up. It stunk. You know, there were shouting matches and slam doors, and it really was intense.
All right. And so then the iPhone comes out. It's obviously so influential in the cell phone market. If Apple had not made this phone, if they had not gone in this direction with multi-touch and all of these interface kind of designs, what do you think? Can you speculate on what you think phones might look like now?
Oh, man. It's just so ubiquitous. We take it for granted. We see a screen without a keyboard. We assume we can touch, swipe, prod, poke it. You know, if it hadn't gone with multi-touch, you know, maybe we'd all have these little tiny keyboards that we'd still be getting arthritis in our hands early from pecking away on, you know? It's really hard to speculate.
Brian Merchant is author of a book called One Device, The Secret History of the iPhone, that is due out next Tuesday. Brian, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.